CFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, if you take the chorus stop. Transformers!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, TFYLP, episode number 241, recorded April 8th, 2017. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weirdwolf. Along with me this evening is Megamus.
Hello.
Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody.
And Moroni Prime, a.k.a. Jim Black.
Hi, everyone. Long time no see. Probably been, what, February since I was on here last?
Has it been that long?
Well, it's been a little while. I've had different odds and ends things going on, including getting Transformers Battle Universe up and running again for the NetJet, a long-lost Transformer game from about 10 years ago.
What is a NetJet?
It is a little gizmo that runs Flash-based, I guess you'd almost say browser-based games that are exclusive to this. The NetJet itself is a controller that functions similar to a CD-ROM drive as far as how the PC... reads it and sees it.
The controller looked clunky.
The games aren't all that great, you know, but what Battle Universe was, though, it was a total of 10 characters. It was the first time we ever saw animated Megatron. That's how we first saw that character revealed. But it's fun. Limited, but fun.
Well, it's nice to see that your Grizzly Adams cosplay is starting to go well.
You know, right?
You should have seen me this morning before I went out the door. Whenever I took my shower and everything, I hadn't shaved since Wednesday before last. So yeah, I looked like Grizzly Adams this morning. Yeah. I want to thank everybody for joining us this evening. I know we've got at least one person on the live chat already. Hi, Lunar Fury. Nice to see you this evening. You can follow us along on YouTube if you're watching us live, and interact with us via the YouTube chat. Also, you can tweet us at TFYLP on Twitter, of course, and also on our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. That's the best ways to interact with us, especially if we're live. Even if we're not live and you're listening to us on the audio version, you can leave us comments, questions, whatever you want via those means, and we'd be happy to hear from you. Also, if you love what we do here on TFYLP, it does cost us money to do it, and it's not a requirement because the show is free to you guys, but... Yeah, as Brett is pointing down to the top of Don's head on my screen. he need to get a rag, Brett, and sit there.
No, but I'm just sitting here thinking we really need to set this up so I can see what it looks like. And I'm going to be like picking his nose.
But as he's pointing down to our link there at the bottom of the screen, support us on Patreon. If you love what we do here on TFYLP, help us keep the lights on and keep doing what we're doing. It's actually a little more money than I'm able to foot the bill for myself. So if you like what we do, you can support us each month with a slight donation. Patreon.com/TFYLP. And a big, huge thank you to all those people that continue to do it for us each week. Without you, we wouldn't be here. Thank you. Also, over on that side of the screen, on the left side of the screen, if you're watching us, our sponsors, CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturePrey.com, where you can save even more on domestic orders of $150 or more with free shipping within the U.S. And also, there's a discounted rate for international buyers. So if you're international, you can you buy over $150, you can get a discounted rate. Also, you can maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with Mega Toy Fan. You can find Mega Toy Fan at the biggest robot and toy conventions year-round, such as Pete's Robot Convention in Cincinnati coming up in, what is it, June?
Mm-hmm.
And also TFCon, both Canada and USA. He will be there selling his wares and cutting you great deals on great vintage figures. That great, awesome guy, Mega Toy Fan. Don't know who he is. Never seen him before.
Yeah, he's like a shadow that just disappears into the night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not going to pull a Stewart. It's me.
Yeah, please don't pull Stewart.
Don't pull on him. He might fart. Don't pull his finger.
Yeah, don't do that.
Well, now you've just ruined the joke for everybody.
Give well, me a break. At least we're not on a joke like Jim's face, you know. He's like, hey, I resemble that remark.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. We just love poking fun at you, Jim.
Woo-hoo. It's too easy.
Yeah, he's like the Pillsbury Doughboy who poke his stomach and he's just,
and at least it's not me for once. So that's...
At least we don't
we'll
press
get
on,
to you.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Don't press on.
Get to you.
Don't press on his stomach and a little crescent roll shoot out or something. No. Is that cup? Titan Returns cup?
Yes.
Where did you get?
On the way down to Joe Lanta for Botlanta. I stopped at about 30 Walgreens.
Ah! Wow.
And I found one cup, one Perceptor, and one Croc. In 30, about 30, counting the ones down there as well, about 30 Walgreens.
My local Walgreens, but I looked out, I got Croc about a month or so ago. And I'm like, great, because they've been keeping like two figures on the shelf at any time. And they had a Croc and a Trigger Happy. Well, I bought the Croc. The next week, I went back after they got their truck, and they had two Trigger Happies. I'm like, well, crap. You know?
Yeah, it's...
I've got it in the back, I'm sure.
No.
Yeah, and my local Walgreens has still not received anything new, and they've had the same two Chrome Domes for about 6 months now. So, and I have never been to so many Walgreens in my life, and...
Well, the thing with Walgreens is, and Jim... What you might be thinking, they might have more in the back. No, they don't. I used to work for Walgreens some 15, 20 years ago. And the way things are there is their things are largely computer ordered based on hands. So if you buy one, then the computer automatically reorders one from that assortment. And they don't send in cases of Transformers like the toys, it's sent in a tote.
Yeah, it's single figures loose in a tote.
Yes.
And
does that mean you might be able to order a particular figure in specific?
No.
No.
It's randomly picked out of the... It's like if you buy... let's say, whenever I bought that Croc, their computer automatically ordered another Transformer in that size class from their warehouse. And whenever the warehouse picker got the order, he just walked over to the case... Reached into the case, picked out whatever figure it was, put it in the tote. Doesn't look to see what it is.
And which ultimately means when you can do that enough, that's you have nothing but a big thing of shelf warmers when you're done.
Yeah. But one of the other downsides is I stopped at several Walmarts on the way down because I was trying to find that Chrome Dome with the Takara version of the faceplate.
Yeah, I've been trying to find that too.
And I must have found about 50 to 60 chrome domes at three or four different Walmarts, and not a single one of them. It's almost like it was a revision wave that was just chrome domes.
Well, it does give you a reason to actually thumb through the chrome domes, even if you already have one. You're like, there is that outside chance.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, that was. We mentioned this before, Joe Lana is a long running G.I. Joe convention that is transitioning into the Great Atlanta Toy Show. This year was the first of the transitional years with Bot Lana, which was a Transformers convention within the Joe Lana convention. But it was a really nice show. I picked up some great things down there, some things I wouldn't expect, like, my Exo Squad Resolute. The carrier from Exo Squad.
Oh.
I picked that up down there, which is loose and complete. So yeah, if you're interested in going down to the Great Atlanta Toy Show, dates have already been announced. Check out the website. Also check out on Twitter. Just follow them at Joe Lana or Bot Lana as well.
Absolutely. You know, Don, last week he showed off Contact Shot, his new pickup, and I'm just going to show off mine. You know, it's like, yeah. Check out old Downbeat there. Very nice.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest. It's of the three Jazzes that are out now, Downbeat is by far the best looking, because the J4ZZ is nice, but it's a little
too stylized.
It's a little too stylized. It's a little too movie. Like, if the movie was more G1 instead of the way they look now,
Go ahead.
No, it'd be like if it was a little more, like you said, stylized, closer to regular G1, but movie-fied, the J4ZZ would kind of be that jazz.
How about modernized?
Okay, yeah, that would be cool. And then the one coming out has all the stickers on it, and that just really takes away from the figure. I like my jazz just blue and white and pretty.
Well, yeah. And that's why I like this one, because you have the option of folding the wings in, and it looks really, really close to the cartoon. I really like that. That's the way I have mine displayed.
We were talking before
about the difference between the legs being gunmetal as opposed to like chrome or silver. I like it. I think it makes it look more anime myself.
Now, I mean, I literally slid this thing out of the package like 2 minutes before we went on the air, and so all I've done is slap an insignia on the hood, and like I said, the only thing I don't like is that back bumper like that. But really, I mean, how many collectors actually sit their figure on the shelf in vehicle mode ass backwards? It makes no sense. You know, it's like you're going to look at it from this way or this way or from the side. And it looks fantastic each way. So
well, Duran, I'm not much of a sticker. I usually don't put any stickers on anything unless it's an Autobot symbol.
Well, that's what I did. But go ahead.
Well, what I was going to ask you was, does Toy Hacks or does anybody make the white outline Autobot symbols?
Well, Toy Hacks has these new insignias here. I don't know if you can see them on the YouTube video that well. But they come on the clear thing. They've been including these with some of the latest orders that you get. And also, Captured Prey, if you order anything right now, he's throwing a free sheet of these in with them. And the great thing about these stickers are the fact that, or these insignias, is that whenever you put them on the figure, they look like tampos.
Yeah. See, because the one thing about this figure, because Downbeat has the Autobot symbol silhouette, but that, to me, that kind of needs like the white outline to go on top of the red. So the red gives you the color instead of having a red sticker on top of a red piece of paint. Because that's what really bothered me about Masterpiece Sideswipe, is they put the Autobot sticker on the chest, but it should have been a white outlined symbol with the red from the car part giving you the red of the symbol. So that's just why I was wondering if they made the white outline version.
Toy Hacks does. Yeah.
So you're talking about, if I can get it up there to see it and everything. So you got this red outline with the white, on the hood. Now, Duran, you said that they have a sticker that covers this completely and looks.
Yeah, there's these right here. I know the audio listeners can't see this, but if you look on the Toy Hacks website or you order something right now from Capture Prey, you'll be getting one of these. And they come on a clear sheet. It's a translucent sheet. But the symbols themselves it's like a silverish outline. But whenever you apply these to the toy, they have that Tampo look to them. And the area that you're referring to, Brett, that size insignia right here that I got my finger on, that perfectly covers it up. It's like the perfect shape of it.
And the good thing about that, with it being a clear sheet all the way around, you could actually lay it over top before you take it off and say, hey, that's the right size.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way you're not really guessing. So I like that too.
Yeah, it is really nice. But, you know, this kind of leads us into our discussion tonight. What type of collector are you? I kind of jokingly named this episode, Who Do You Think You Are? And this is a very similar topic to what we've had before, but we're going to put a different spin on it. So if you've heard the previous topic we did, I'm wanting to say 2-3 years ago, maybe, about, you know, collecting and what do we collect. There are different types of collectors, and I'm going to kind of hand this over to Brett because he's got an idea and he's going to fill us in and lead us into the discussion tonight.
Well, real quick, Lunar Fury was asking if you could order just the stickers.
I think you can on Toy Hacks, yes. I think they're like, I think one sheet is like $7, which is not bad for a Tampo looking sheet.
Right. Not to mention, it stops this, which is, in my opinion, is a great figure, but without that, it's just, it's incomplete.
Yeah.
Without that sticker right there, it's just incomplete. So I got to grab mine too. So I'm right there with you. So I got to do that. All right. I had a little bit of problem coming up with how to actually do this. It actually came to me, and I was sitting here thinking about the different type of fans that we have. And I was thinking about, believe it or not, comics. I was thinking about comic book collectors and how some people collect comics for their worth, for a series, or, you know, the Pokemon syndrome where you got to have them all, you know, anything Superman, I got to have them all, or Batman, or, you know, Wolverine, whatever. And then so that it got me to thinking, well, you know, the term super collector has been thrown out in Transformers fandom. And so then I thought, well,
as I sit there and look behind you.
I sit there and think, you know, well, what's a super collector? Well, and I was trying to come up and peg, and I actually wrote them down here, trying to peg like steps. Okay. So
the labels that we apply to ourselves.
Yeah. I was like, so what would I label it? Okay. So you got, and I'll just start at the top because I think unless you guys can come up with something like mega collector or whatever, the super collector seems to fit. That would be like the top.
So like, you're a mega collector fan. No, he's
a mega
collector fan.
I was thinking about that too, but that's a little self-gratifying. Jim, what'd you say?
Nothing. I said so. You'd be a mega toy fan.
I was thinking about that. Yes, but no. That's not on the list. That's not on the list.
There's nothing wrong with a little self-gratification every now and again.
but you do that too often, you go blind.
Or grow hair on your palms.
Now I say that, and I'm going to get my glasses out. No, never mind. So how about moderate collector? Would you say the next step would be moderate collector?
Well, what's the beginning step called?
Well, if we're just jumping at the top and say super collector.
Yeah.
And we're going to go down a little lower, and we'll just say like a moderate collector. And then I got all these, like I said, labels out, like moderate collector, devoted fan, maybe a passing fan. So whatever you want to call yourself, we're going to actually label this. And so what I thought we'd do is we'd go around the room and we would just start with what you think you would put yourself at in on these steps. And just to give everyone an idea of how I kind of want this to go, I'll go first. And I think I am a moderate collector. I actually do. I have seen collections that just
the Hartmans, wow. Like the Hartmans.
Wow.
Well, or, there's people that have everything, but you also have to look at quantity is not necessarily the thing. It's quality. And Brett, I think you might not have the biggest collection I've ever seen, but you have probably some of the most quality figures I've ever seen.
So what you're telling me is it's not how big it is, it's how you use it.
Yes.
Okay. Or how you display it.
Yes, and all those innuendos.
It's an adequate size.
Now we got to watch what we say because Jim's on the show because he's not old enough to be hearing this right now.
How did all these dirty jokes get in here? Innuendo.
Yes.
In the window?
Yeah.
As you drink your bowl of soup. Bowl of coffee.
Ebola coffee, what?
He's got Ebola coffee. All right, so, yeah, this is why I think I would put myself as a moderate. And I started out as a collector, and I think I moved up to moderate when I decided I was going to try and get every single G1. And when I acquired that, then I jumped into, like, prototypes and stuff like that. But I still... I can't put myself at the level of some people that I have seen their collections to where they just, you know, their whole, I have one 10 by 10, 10 by 12 room dedicated. And there's people that have houses, you know, like every room, you know, this is my Decepticon room. This is my Autobot room. You know, this is my Pretender, whatever, you know, I mean, oh my goodness.
This is my Animorphs room.
And this, ooh, that's a small room. So that's in the bathroom, right?
Probably. Yeah. I don't know.
That would be in the bathroom. Yeah. So, you know, and so I don't think I'm at that level. And Don, you know some of the collections I'm talking about. They just, you know, not only do they have one of everything, and I think you know the same person I'm thinking of. If it's a triple changer, he has three. If it's, you know, so you can put it in all different modes. That's beyond me. I mean, that's beyond me. So that's what I think. What do you guys think?
As far as you or just the term in general?
Let's go with me first.
I'll defer to Don since he's.
Okay. This brings up what I was going to bring up. I think you can't look at Transformers or anything anymore as a single entity because with the advent of the internet, there is now more media, more sections of the fandom to consume. You have the comics, you have the video games, you have the movies, you have the toys, you have the peripheral merchandise. So, and I'm going to bring this up for me and roll it back to Brett there. Before BotCon in 1994, I would have called myself a super collector. And to, you know, but then I learned what I had was bupkis compared to what was out there because that's when I learned about the Japanese and the European universes.
Exactly.
So that's when I realized, okay, I don't know Jack. And so I started collecting those universes as well. Then we fast forward. We started getting the Dreamwave comics. We started getting more video games when the video game systems became more advanced. Now we have online games, mobile gaming, flash gaming.
NetJet.
So you can't be – if you say you're a super collector – to me, you have to now say, what part of the fandom are you a super collector?
I think we absolutely need to define what a super collector is and unequivocally before we go into placing where we are in that, because simply, you know, I'm already, as we're getting into this discussion, you know, Brett had said that, you know, a super collector isn't necessarily somebody that, you know, or is somebody that has everything and multiples of everything. Me personally, I define somebody as a super collector as being able, it's also in the convention parlance, a high roller. In other words, you can go to a convention and drop some big cash on one or more high dollar figures. And, you know, if you can do that, I think that qualifies you as a super collector.
Let me interrupt just for 1 minute. I agree and I disagree with that. I think the intention has to be put into this. If you're down there and you're plopping big money on an item, and your reasoning is because you love that character or you love that and you're a fan of it, I think you qualify. But there are people that go out there that buy this stuff specifically for the monetary value and for what they believe, you know, like stocks and bonds. Whether we want to admit it or not, there are people out there like that. There's nothing wrong with that, but I would not put them in the category of super collector.
Well, I think this is the way I see it. You are a super collector if you collect if you collect Company X products, and no matter what comes out with that character, with that company, with that branding, you are interested in looking at it and perhaps buying it.
So you're saying loyalty has something to do with it.
I'm saying the super collector is basically, they look at everything as being a possible purchase, no matter what category it's from, however the fandom is split up, and everything is of interest to them for their collection, whether it's the punching bag, the party cups, the toys, the comics, whatever. A super collector is basically, it don't matter what it is. If it has that name, you're going to at least take a look at it.
Well, and you also have to, in my definition of super collector, there's like different levels of super collector. You know, super collector is, and you might, there's different, it's, I guess there, what I'm trying to think of something that I could compare it to, like maybe schizophrenia, you know, where there's like different kinds of schizophrenia, you know. You know, but
so you're making this out to be like a disorder.
No. I'm just trying to find something to correlate it to that maybe can draw contrast. But you know, you could qualify as a super collector if you meet any, not all, not necessarily all of these criteria, but if you meet any of these criteria. Number one, I think, would be dollar amount you spend on particular figures. If you are able to spend, and let's be real here, this is a hobby where dollar amounts are important, because, you know, for me, as much as I love Transformers, literally there are toys out there that are well beyond my financial grasp that I would have to really be doing well, or I would have to put myself in hock just to get some figures, you know, or save up for years. Like a Grand Max. I just don't see myself getting a Grand Max anytime soon. You know, it'd be something I would love to have, but I don't have 4 grand plus to drop on a toy. But the thing, getting back to my original thing, if you can spend a lot of money, or you, like Don said, if you are able to, or if you are a fan in that, if it says Transformers on it, you want it. If it is Transformer related, that includes third party lunch pails, you know, curtains, rugs, like I've got on the floor behind me. If you have to have all that stuff, you know, and you buy it without regard of whether or not it's actually useful or you want it or not, just because it has Transformers on it, that's why you want it. If you're one of those people, you can qualify as a super collector. Also, super collectors may be very specific in that they collect Transformers and Transformers only and a certain type. You know, like, I only collect boxed, or I only collect the mintiest version of these, and I have to have them all that way. You know, a completist. A completist is a version of a super collector, in my opinion. That's how I would define a super collector. It's not necessary. Now, sometimes a super collector will meet all of those criteria. They spend a lot of money. They buy things even if it's not necessarily, you know, useful or anything, just because they support the brand and they want to have whatever is on it. You know, Transformer pencils, ink pens, toilet paper, whatever. You know, they own it. And especially oddities. You know, I know Brett's got some oddities. Rick's shown some oddities on here before. You know, it's like you got a Nightlight or like those crazy pens that you had here a few weeks ago. You know, little oddities like that. You got to have that stuff. You know, you can meet all of those criteria or one of those criteria to be a super collector. That's the way I would define it. Do you guys disagree?
I do, but I'm going to throw in one other little nuance. And I'll actually use one of our cast members. I'm going to use Rick as an example. Now, I have no idea how much he has, but just based on what he has said and what we know, I think he would definitely qualify as a super collector. But I would also categorize him as a super fan. And what do I mean by that? He knows different stuff, well, a lot of stuff about, like, every series, G1, G2, Energon, you know, all that stuff across the board. I think that's separate. I would never classify myself as a super fan. I don't watch all the cartoons. I don't read all the comics. So I think that's another aspect, because you could also have people that are super fans that don't collect.
Yeah. But you can also be a super fan and not collect anything, honestly.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Absolutely. You know, you know what you look at the comics or whatever online. You don't actually buy them, whatever. You know what the shows are. You know what the character is. You know what the history is. Heck, you're a fan. You're a super fan. You don't have to buy anything to be a super fan. So I think that there's those two kind of go side by side.
And I compare that, for example, it's like I love Star Trek, all of Star Trek universe, original series, Next Gen, all of that. I love it all. I love Stargate. I am a super fan. I have all the episodes on DVD, but as far as memorabilia, I have zilch. I don't collect any of that stuff.
Well, there's not that much, but
well, actually, there's quite a bit. There's quite a bit. There, you know, the Playmates Star Trek toys. There's a lot of those.
I meant for Stargate.
He was talking about Stargate.
Believe it or not, there are a lot of Stargate toys out there. They're just not. They're just not highly publicized and collect. Right. And just for kicks and giggles, while I was burning through the Stargate SG-1 box sets here a month or two ago, I went online just to see how much, you know, like a set of the four key characters, O'Neill, Carter, Teal'c, and Daniel, would cost. Just the little 3¾-inch figures, you're looking, some of them are over $200. On the card. And I'm like, really? Just the 3¾-inch figures. You know, and then they have like the ultimate versions of them and everything. You know, much like Transformers. You know, you got Masterpiece, you got your Titan Returns, you know, might be the same character, just a better version of it. And that's the way it is. But I don't own any of that memorabilia, but I can classify myself as a super fan because I'm passionate about those things and I love those things.
But I'd say you're a super fan if you could name the characters that you just did, because I don't know any of it.
Yeah.
Well, shame on you.
Yeah.
None of it.
I think one thing, this, unlike, say, Transformer classifications, you know, mini bot, legend, ultra, voyager, mega, whatever the case is, all this classification. Everyone is going to have their own idea of what term X means. If you're a super collector to someone, that's going to vary. But it's just the fact that it's just there's so much out there to consider. That's what I was saying earlier. It's like, Brett, you are, to me, you are a super collector in the toys, but you're a fan of the other, the comics, the video games. I mean, you don't have, you know, you don't have every video game system. You don't have every single Transformers video game. You don't have every mobile game on your phone. You don't have all the comics. We may have, but I don't think you do. Yeah.
I would definitely agree with you on that.
So I think for me, especially in this fandom or any fandom where you have this new swath of fragments, toys, comics, you have to look at each one individually. Like for me, I am a super collector when it comes to the toys. Obviously, I've been doing this since the day the damn things came out in 84. I haven't stopped since, which I had sometimes. But
Diacron too, didn't you, Don?
I've actually had one or two pieces, but that's when I was younger and didn't know what they were and sold them off. But the Diacron, not the
Jim. Diacron. He probably drew out the first diagrams and sent them to Yoke-san himself and said, "Here, okay. I want these toys
so,
made."
So I do have a story. I do have a story. It's a slight tangent. When I was 15, I sent in a design to Hasbro. I got a letter back from Hasbro. It was a form letter, but it said, "Dear Donald, thank you for your time and design." Basically, I'm paraphrasing it from memory. This was 30 plus years ago. "Thank you for your time and interest in our product. We appreciate your design and the effort that it took. We cannot take any submissions at this time, but please continue to enjoy our product. Thank you, everybody." Blah, blah, blah. I sent in. Now, this was early 85. I sent in a design for a character, a jet robot, called him Air Raid. 8 months later, before the holidays, give or take, Aerobots came out. Air Raid was in the set.
You're like, they stole my design.
I'm not insinuating anything. I'm just saying. Hey, that's my story.
That sounded like an insinuation to me, didn't it, to you?
That's something. But they actually, even if it was a form letter, they even sent me a drawing back. They sent me the letter. It was in the Hasbro envelope station and all that.
They sent him the drawing back, even though they photocopied it before they did.
Sure.
But I'm just saying that's how much I love the toys as I even designed. Granted, it was based a lot on Fytor. But that's neither here nor there. When it comes to the toys, I'm a super fan. When it comes to the comics, I'm a fan. Marvel stuff, I would not miss an issue. I would not. When Regeneration 1 came out, I could not wait for the next issue. That kind of ended towards the end. But neither there. But I don't read IDW. I'm just so burned out on comics, mostly with what Marvel and DC has done. Am I a fan of the comics? Not really. I mean, a lot of my friends, the guys on RFC, say
what I've read of them, I like. I just don't actively read them. That's not a bad thing, though.
That's me. It's just I'm just so burned out. I think of just being tired of all the games that come. I'm just tired of that. So when it comes to the comics, I'm just a casual. I guess not even a casual fan. Just I'm aware of them to a degree.
Well, but here, real quick, I'm going to say, for you, yes, super collector, most definitely. But I'm going to say super fan, and here's why. Have you written fan fiction?
Yes.
Could you explain
it? It wasn't good.
I didn't say good fan fiction. I just said heavy fiction.
It was a long time ago. I was younger, and it sucked.
Just remember, there's bad figures, yes, too.
It was a long time ago. You were young, and you needed the work. I got you. So, but no, my point being is, and in that fan fiction, you had characters that were drawn from mainstream.
Right.
Okay, so you know the characters. More than just a name, you know the characters. You know... You know more than a passing. So right. Just because you don't collect the comics, I would still classify you as a super fan. To me, a fan is someone that, hey, you know what? I'm a Walking Dead fan. All right, I could probably tell you 75%, 80, maybe 80% of the characters that are on the TV. All right, you give me the comic, I'm not going to know them. If you ask me about the other 20%, I'm not going to know them. I'm just a fan. That to me, that's the difference. Do I collect stuff that's Walking Dead? No.
I'm interested to hear what Jim has to say.
Well, I've been holding off on Don, but I wanted to save Jim for last. But we could do him now. He could go now.
Well,
wanted to go from
only so long as it's consensual.
well,
you have to have that in writing.
Well, I'm going to say one thing real quick.
Yep.
When being a fan, I think when I was younger, I was a super fan because I actually did LARPing at BotCon with the role play cast from TF 2005, which was a internet based mud. Basically, it's a multi-user shared hallucination is what the one of the basic definitions. So yeah, I got with people online. I was the original Spike at TF 2005. I was the original Spike. I role played online, and at BotCon 94 and 95, we had a live action role play event that was part of the canon of the story going on online. So, yes, I was a super fan at the time because I was into this, but I haven't done that for many years, so I think I've kind of dropped, like you said, I'm just sort of dropped down to fan, again, because in my head, things have changed with the dynamics of the product.
I disagree. Hey, Rook, I know we got to get to Jim, but I disagree. I'm just going to say I disagree because the knowledge is still in your daggone head, still know it, and the love is still there.
I think super fan has different degrees, much like I defined super collector a while ago. You know, if you meet one or more of the criteria, and Don still meets one of those criteria.
I agree.
I would qualify as a super fan. You know, it's like I don't actively read the comics, but I do enjoy the impact that they've made on the franchise. And whenever I do pick up a Transformer comic and I read through it, they are way more entertaining than I've seen in years.
Well, I'll even go a step further say that I think all of y'all are super fans, and I'm not. And the reason being is every time I come on the show and you guys talk about something, I learn something. I really do, because there's so much I don't know, and you guys do. And I really think that solidifies it. It's about the knowledge and the love. It's not the materialistic. It's the knowledge and the love and the passion to keep learning this stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah. I agree.
All right, Jim, you're up on deck. What would you classify yourself as? Heterosexual?
Real quick, back to the Star Trek thing, just for a moment.
Any day.
Duron.
Star Trek, go ahead.
Duron, you don't even have, like, the Hot Wheels Enterprise or the little tiny thing?
I don't think I have anything Star Trek outside of DVDs.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that I don't love it. I could probably go tit for tat on trivia with some people, but I just don't. I'm sure I get my ass whooped on some things, but I'm above average, I think, in trivia on Star Trek. But as far as toys, memorabilia, I don't have any of it. I don't have anything, really. Not even a poster.
I just got to say, I received one of the best Star Trek items in the mail from one of my friends on Twitter. I don't play Cards Against Humanity because I have no one to play it with, but apparently there's an expansion deck. And one of the answer cards is Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra. That is now
it is.
That is now my favorite. That is now my answer to everything. Is that phrase? That's the greatest piece of Star Trek in the world, and I'll never be able to use it because I don't play the game.
Yeah, it's in there. Go ahead. Also the Diachron thing what you were saying kind of makes me wonder. You know, you were getting into it before, you know, Transformers was a thing. Perhaps maybe the face sticker for Ironhide and Ratchet was designed after Dawn.
well, here's what's sad. Many years ago, when I was looking for Deluxe Insecticons, I was told that by a friend that there was a little antique store and that had a lot of toys. They had several of the Deluxe Insecticons. They also had a table full of Godaikans. Literally. Really? A lunch table full of Godaikans. And I didn't know what they were. I thought they were a Transformers copy. Again, I didn't know what they were at the time.
They are wonderful marvels of machinery.
I know
technology.
That
But
I had $20. They had Chop Shop for $20 counting tax, and I got Chop Shop because he was the last one I needed. But there's go ahead, Jim.
Oh no, that was just an amusing thought I had a minute ago. I'm like, it looks like Dawn. Awesome. I would classify myself more a casual collector, but a super fan. If I had to classify myself as anything, over the years at various times I've collected. You know, I've had a large portion of Generation One. I had almost every single one of the Alternators. I had some Masterpiece. I had almost the entire run of Energon. The Heroes of Cybertron PVCs from Walgreens. I had a huge number of those. Transformers Energon Kite, which I actually still have the kite, by the way. It's not even opened. Knickknacks go. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Don.
No, I was going to say, if you fly the kite, do what I did when I was a kid. Use a fishing rod. To go to fly your kite because it gives you better control, more line, and easier to crank it. Believe me, it works.
You reach
my
power
mind
lines.
Is so dirty. So dirty.
Right. I thought you wanted to know.
So dirty.
You want to talk about dirty minds?
I am going to hell.
Hey, it's quite nice up in Michigan right now, I'll have you know. But no, when the 2007 movie came out, there were even these little candy things at like Toys R Us and Dollar Store. And on the top of them was like the upper torso and arms of G1 Prime and G1 Megatron. And they had the little buttons on the back where you could make them punch. And the way it was is that there's these little plungers, these little rods that run through the torsos. And each one was anchored onto the base of a fist. So that would operate the arms, right? Well, on Megatron, everything was the same color of gray. There was no paint variation between the pieces.
So there were 50 shades of gray on him, huh?
Well, it looked like Megatron was just milking himself. It was hilarious. There's little knickknacks and things like that I admittedly have collected over time. I've even right now, I don't even think I have them on the desk, but I've even got the real 3D movie theater Transformer glasses that have little Optimus Prime horns that stick up.
So why would you say moderate collector? Why wouldn't you say more than that?
Because over the years, I've acquired and I've sold off. I've not been consistent with it. As recently as 2012, I had probably $2,500 worth of merchandise I sold off and started from scratch again. Keeping, of course, my core childhood figures, the main favorites. But like right now, 90% of my collection is Generations. There's, the 2012 and 14 Generations line. I've got like the Brainstorm and the Rhinox, Skybite. But most of it is Combiner Wars and Titans Return.
What about your Creo collection?
It no longer exists. I sold it off.
Wow. I know, right? That's kind of like when the Hartman sold their collection. It's like
I'm going to say, because when I think of Creos, I think of you. I think that you have them all.
The lines started to dwindle, as did my resources at the time, and as well as my space in my house. Because I always like to try to keep boxes for things that I buy. That's a bad habit of mine. Like right now, my Combiner Wars and Titans Return, I've got boxes for all my figures, except for like two I think I got from Duran back at BotCon. But that takes up space. And that was another reason why I purged what the way I did. I can't bring myself to throw away Transformers packaging. How we're talking about anything with Transformers on it, whether it's, you know, Transformers the breakfast cereal, Transformers the flamethrower,
right,
you know,
right,
so on and so forth.
I agree. I'm the same way. My basement has nothing but I got two big shelves, 12 foot long shelves of boxes. You know, third party boxes. You know, some anything that I had that had a box, and I took out the display. If it's not in this room, it's in the basement. I can't throw it away.
Right, right.
I agree with you.
And for those of you in the audience that didn't get the Spaceballs reference, that lunchbox was actually a Transformers lunchbox.
It was, but more importantly, that you didn't get it. Shame on you. Shame on you.
Absolutely.
You should have gotten that.
Yes.
You know, a third party needs to make a mock-up of, like, Transformers the Flamethrower. It doesn't work, of course. It's just a mock-up of it.
Man, are you kidding? I want it to work.
I want a third party Spaceball 1 / Megamade.
Yes.
If anybody has connections or knows who to contact, somebody get on that.
That's a project.
I want to have Elbrook sign it before he dies.
It'll be $500 and sold in three pieces.
I'm good with that.
You know what?
I break for nobody.
Yeah, that's right. So, Don, what would you classify Jim as?
I totally agree. I believe when it comes to the fandom, he's a super fan. I mean, he's a super fan. Yep. He's a moderate collector. I would say moderate. I would say if he was still collecting the Creos, he was a super Creo collector.
That's why I asked that question, because I was going to say that. Yes.
Yeah, because I mean, Jim probably is the biggest Creo collector that I know. I know several Creo collectors, but I think Jim was the biggest that I knew.
He was definitely for me, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sort of sorry to see your collection go, but I can understand that. But I think, again, it's like one thing none of us have mentioned so far is, like, the video games. And they're getting to be so popular, both mobile and retro. Well, I mean, you know, Jim's got some, and I've got the PS1 and the PS2 versions. But, again, nothing past that. I had the Transformers G1 Awakening game on my Razor phone, the first Razor that ever came out. I had that on there, but that's it. I mean, I don't have anything new. I don't have anything recent, and it's just it's video games. You know, is it? Can you be a super collector of video games? You can, but you wouldn't just buy if you have a video game console. You wouldn't buy just Transformer games.
If it helps, I have Beast Wars on PlayStation 1 and on PC.
Is it better on PC?
It's the same game. The jewel cases are almost identical.
Because it really could be worse.
Because it was there. Gotta catch them all, right?
Super fan.
No, I think you're a super fan if you actually play Return of Convoy every day on purpose, voluntarily. That would make you a super fan of the games.
That's okay. Let me pull up here.
Suicidal.
Where was it?
Suicidal.
I want to say it was Night Sword said it. I'm
that
looking right now.
Probably one of the most brutal games I've ever played, that Return of Convoy game.
Yeah. Well, according to Night Sword, he said anyone who actually sat through the whole Combiner Wars series should be considered a super fan. So,
yeah,
I did. I
compiled the 8 episodes together into a long movie. Does that count?
I was sad. I was saddened by the wasted potential that it had.
I agree.
I wish there were more. There was more of it to flesh it out more. I think if it had had more fleshing out and was able to get more story in there, it would have been a better show. But I think the length of the episodes and the delivery system, as in being online only, pretty much, really, really hurt that show.
Yeah, on a platform that nobody really has heard of.
Yeah.
On GO90. The thing of it is, though, when it comes to that, I think what hurt that for a lot of people is if you write for a 5-minute episode, you know that you have a time constraint and you can make the most of each episode. But if you write it for a 50-minute episode and then chop it up into five parts or whatever the case may be, each part is going to be weaker because it wasn't designed to be a five-minute part.
Exactly. Right, because you have lulls.
And yeah,
so you'll get one whole episode of nothing but the lull, the down before.
Yeah.
And yeah, it makes it boring.
Yeah, and so, it's like stuff, you know, stuff doesn't happen in a logical order because you have to wait for the next episode, but the writing does not support
the flow,
and you know that, and I think that turned a lot of people off as far as they became a not fan of, you know, because we have not had a good run of luck with webisodes. There's been a few bright points here and there. Some of the RID ones were kind of funny. Bumblebee trying to tame a Dinobot or something along those lines. You know, small little things like that. But the online presence of Transformers as far as media has been kind of, yeah. It's kind of hard to be a fan of that.
I am still waiting. In my opinion, Transformers Prime had the potential, and it started out that way as having the strong story of Beast Wars with more updated animation, but it kind of fell off toward the end, especially jumped the shark with Beast Hunters, in my opinion. But I'm still waiting for that Transformers show that really transcends the brand. You know, like Beast Wars brought Transformers out of obscurity. You know, again, you know, I mean, Transformers was literally dead until Beast Wars came along. And then, and we are digressing so far off topic, but I'll finish this up real quick. But I'm waiting for that one show to come back that will do that for Transformers on television. We've got the Transformers in the theater. People aren't going to forget about it. You know, I mean, especially with a movie getting ready to come out. You know, and if you're listening to this, 8 years from now, the ninth movie getting ready to come out. But yeah, I'm just waiting for that show, and it's not happened yet. I'm waiting for that magic. I had such high hope for Prime, but it started out high and then kind of.
Isn't it said that they have like something like 14 movie ideas?
I think that's not accurate.
Ideas, not scripts.
Well, we brought this up on RFC, and XV summed it up. Michael Bay has threatened us with 14 more Transformer movies.
God.
Yeah. But anyway, let's get back to topic here.
All right. So, Jim.
So, are we still critiquing me? Or
right. Well, you had said that you are a moderate collector, but a super fan. And we've all chimed in except for Duran. What do you think?
As far as Jim, I actually haven't commented on either of you either. But except for I think I did a little bit on Brett. But but Jim, I would collect. I'll get the words out here momentarily. I will classify him as a casual fan. I mean, or a casual collector, much as what he defines himself as. I think he's more of a fan than collector, because he doesn't prioritize going out and getting the toys over anything else. You know, I mean, he'll actively seek out the media, but as far as the toys, he comes across to me as he could care less whether he completes lines or not. You know, there might be a character or two he's got to have, but it's not necessarily something that he actively chases, if to use a term, I guess. I think he's just more of a casual collector and super fan.
Okay. What about Don? What do you think?
I classify Don as a super collector and super fan. Because he may not go out and spend the big bucks on certain figures, especially with Dononomics. But over the course of 75 years, he has amassed such a collection. You know, he is a super collector. Just looking in the background of his video right now, I can tell you he is also a super fan because of all the artwork, the massive 2 liter of Pepsi Max that he just took a drink of.
Right.
You that mean, is nearly empty, by the way.
Before he had his bowl of coffee.
Yeah. Yes. But, you know, I think he is a super collector because he meets the criteria that that he's got to have it, you know, and it's not I think he's more of a toy than a knick-knack guy, although I'm sure he has knick-knacks, but yeah. I think he classifies more as a toy super collector. And he is also a super fan because he loves the lore and everything.
I think he's a super fan because he went to every single BotCon ever.
Yeah.
But one.
Except for Japan.
No. I missed 2000. I missed 1997 Rochester. I was gainfully unemployed.
Oh.
But John and Carl did send me the Fractal Pack Rat set. So.
You know what? That counts.
That counts.
Yep. That's a non-attendee, but you still.
All right. So, Duron.
Me?
Yeah.
How many Durons do we have?
You're wanting me to classify myself.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
Go for it.
This is something I don't want to classify myself as a super collector because I can't really say that I plop down large amounts of cash at one time. I mean, I do have Death Source, but I'll be honest, my girlfriend bought that for me. You know, so yeah. I didn't spend that money, you know. See, so if I had to look around,
well, you got a sweet deal on that Desaurus anyway, right?
Yeah, but I'd say the most I've spent on a single figure probably is my G1 reissue Fort Max. I got it whenever it first came out, it was like $320 or something like that. But the thing is I do classify as a super collector in that I've got to complete sets. I love to complete sets like Dinobots, things like that. But if I had to classify myself, I would say I'm more of a choosy casual collector. And I am a super fan because I love the lore and I love following the lore of the brand. And there's little things like artwork, like we spoke about last week. I'm a huge fan of Transformer artwork. You know, I love that. The package art, you know, tech spec bio cards, I love tech specs. I think that is a lost art. So, yeah, I'm a super fan. But I classify myself as a casual collector more.
Well, see, Duron, the one thing about you versus you and Jim to a lesser degree versus myself and Brett, you have both through choice and by necessity downscaled your collections to, and you've done
numerous times.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Whereas I just keep adding and adding and adding. I mean, I rotate through some stuff. I sell stuff to keep Dynanomics going. But I mean, I have not done the purge and said, okay, Don, you can only keep 100 Transformers. You know, I can't do that. But you've got a unique perspective because you've been a super collector. And then you've scaled down and to the levels you're at now, and then so you've got a unique perspective because you've sort of run the gauntlet of the stages to a degree.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree that at one time I would easily have classified myself as a super collector. If you had asked me this question, are you a super collector? Back in 2005, 2006. I would have said unequivocally, yes, I am. Because at that time, I had a good portion of Generation 1, both U.S. and Japan. I had everything from Fox Kids Beast Wars all the way through the first wave or two of Universe, both loose and sealed, and including store exclusives. I had it all. I mean, the apartment I lived in was described by numerous people as a Toys R Us exploded in here.
But I mean, you had Purple Bolt and Rodimus Primal.
Yes, I had those.
But you had to have that silver and black Tarantulas. Oh, yes. God, that's a gorgeous toy.
Yeah.
I was sitting here thinking, do you have to currently have the collection to be considered a super collector? And I'm sitting here thinking,
I'd say yeah.
Yeah.
You're still going
to
be active.
Because you'd have to have it to actually categorize yourself as such. So I would say retired super collector.
Yeah, I'm a retired super collector, more of a casual collector now. I still actively collect. I curate my collection, as in that I display it nicely, and there's certain things I pursue to add to my collection, you know. But as far as, you know, going out of my way to get everything of something, I just don't do that anymore. You know, I'm content with having incomplete, series or something. You know, it's like I've almost already sold all the non-essential Combiner Wars stuff that I had. About the only Combiner Wars items that I have now are the Combiners themselves. That's it. You know, so Titan Returns, I've already sold off everything except for, the core Headmasters. You know, so, you know, I'm very choosy whenever it comes to what I have.
So can we safely say for us casual collectors, we may not be super collectors, but we have super collected.
Yes. I know what it feels like to go out and spend nearly my whole damn paycheck on toys. You know, I did it for years.
Go $100 into debt.
Yeah. And I had no problems doing it. But now I'm at the point, I think it's more not so much having the item as that I relish in the hunt still, you know.
I'll tell you something. A lot of people do, and I was thinking when you were talking about money and the price and everything. Little side note: anyone that says that, you know, well, price doesn't matter or whatever, it most certainly does. And because I could tell you that I would say without a doubt, every collector will brag about how cheap they got something. Mm. I mean, and that's part of the hunt. but that's what I'm saying. You know, it's not only getting the item, it's how you acquired it and how much you paid for it. And I can tell you one thing on a little side note, that's also a curse. I have above here, I've got a thing of knockoffs, really, really bad ones, really bad, just ugly, gore, you know, goofy colors, everything. And I pulled them down and I'm like, you know, I need to make room. I'm going to do my little purge. I'm going to get rid of all these. And then I sat there and thought, man, that was really hard to find. I remember finding that and it took this and this. I got to put that one back up. And I remember finding this and this. And, yeah, that one's got to go back. And I wound up putting everything back and didn't get rid of anything. So it could be a curse, too.
Well, there's a thing. Here's the thing. And this goes back to what Don was saying, you know, that Jim and I both have went through the purge. And I can tell you this right now from experience. The purge, the very first one I ever did was easily the most painful one that I had because it contained a lot of my childhood toys, which had a lot of sentimental value attached to those particular toys. And there was also a lot of monetary value in those toys. And I'd spent a lot of time hunting them down, especially the store exclusives. Because you remember back in the day whenever, you know, and this was in the early 2000s, and I'm saying back in the day, you know, internet online ordering wasn't as easy as it is now. You know, you had to know where to find some of these things, and getting some of these store exclusives, knowing when and where they were going to be out, that it was harder then. And I actually took the time to find these things and hunt them down. You know, that Nemesis Prime, the repaint of Big Convoy from Target, that thing was a pain in the ass for me to get. Cryotech was a pain in the ass to get. You know,
How about Armada Nemesis Prime?
Armada Nemesis Prime, yeah.
I saw one once ever, and the package was all destroyed. It was a return.
Hey, you're talking about the Black Mammoth,
yeah,
the one before you with the Black Mammoth Prime that was a Target exclusive,
yeah,
yep.
And then there was Cryotech.
The Nemesis Prime was hit or miss on its distribution.
Well, it was. They all went through only ones I ever found for both of those were only found on clearance at Target. Never saw them when they first came out. They went straight to clearance, both of them.
But
and that was funny. They'll hold on to all this stuff until it goes to clearance, and then they send them out.
I was fortunate enough to get two of each of all of those two. You know, one to open and display, and the other one to keep sealed. And I back in that time, I would take Saran wrap and go around the sealed one to protect it from dust. I mean, I was meticulous with this crap. All the carded figures, I had these big, long blue totes, the Tupperware, the Rubbermaid totes, rather. And I would stack them in there as they would come in, like you would open up a box case. You know, they would have the alternating stack. And whenever I buy the one to keep sealed, I made sure the card wasn't bent, there wasn't anything on it. And then the one I would open always had the crappier package. But, and I kept it too. until my wife started saying, okay, one of these things has got to go. So, okay, some of the package, you know. But, you know, putting myself through the purge now for some times now, it gets easier each time in the way that I still am a fan. I'm still collecting. I'm just taking a perspective as to, okay, what do I want? You know, this is what I, you know, like Brett said, you know, I get some of this stuff down. And I'm like, you know, I got that at this particular convention, or I had to do this, or I spent so much effort to get this. But at the same time, I look back and I'm like, do I really want that figure? And that's what it boils down to. And I'll tell you this little story. Armada Unicron. You know how whenever that thing first came out, how everybody was clamoring for the first true Unicron toy.
Absolutely.
That we'd ever got.
Finally, after
I was one. Okay, me and Insane Galvatron, we were talking online, and somebody had spotted a case in Lexington, Kentucky. This was at like 8 o'clock at night that this all began. On a Friday night, I was, I was off. He was off. Somebody spotted one in Lexington. So I drove to Lexington to the store that it was spotted at. Wait a minute.
All I was going to say is the hunt began, right?
The hunt began. You know, somebody confirmed they had snapped a picture of some on the shelf in a store in Lexington. So I drove to that store. They were all gone already. And then somebody said, okay, somebody found some in Berea, which Berea, Kentucky is about 45 miles away. So I'm like, okay, before I drive there, I'm going to call. So I called. They denied that they had any. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to waste my time driving all the way down there and them not have it. And then I called Mount Sterling, Winchester, which is about 20 miles away from Lexington. They said they had some. So I'm like, okay. So we drove over there. They didn't have anything. They lied to try to get me into the store. So I got over there. They didn't have any. And I was irate that the customer, the associate, lied to me. This is Walmart, by the way. And they tried to make it right, and they called a local, another nearby Walmart, which was in Mount Sterling, another 20 miles away. So here it was at 1:45 in the morning. I'm driving over an hour away from home to get this toy.
Toy hunting.
To get this toy. And I get there, and they do have it. I buy it. And I drive all the way back home, and I own that toy for probably 2 or 3 years. And it was another one of those toys that went out whenever I purged. You know, I picked that toy up, and I'm like, I hunted for several hours, and I drove over an hour away from home at 1:45 in the freaking morning to go get this toy. You know, and I'm like, you know what, though? Nothing's going to replace that memory, and I still remember that memory or that thing, that moment, and I'm sharing it with you now, but yet I don't have that toy anymore. Haven't had it in over 10 years now. So whenever you purge, you don't sell the memories. You sell the toy, and you replace the toy with something you'd rather have right now. And I just if you're afraid of selling off any of your collection, consider that before you do it. It's like you may miss it initially, but eventually you're not. You're just going to enjoy what you got. And I'm going to get off my soapbox there, but you know, that at one time, yes, I was a super collector, driving over an hour away to pick up a toy at 1:45 in the morning. Yeah, super collector.
Let me ask you this much. Tonight, if there was what's your number one thing on your list you would love to get that's in the stores right now?
Who, me?
Yeah.
In the stores right now, the number one thing that I want to get, probably the Chaos on Velocitron set.
Okay. If that was at a store right now and you had the money, extra money, you know, this isn't, you know, I was saving this for rent or whatever. You had extra money.
And somebody texted me right now and said that it was at Toys R Us right now.
45 minutes away. 45 minutes away.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this week on TFYLP. I have a toy to go get. See you next time. That's exactly what would happen. No. Probably. No, I'll be honest.
Stop listening. That wasn't the end of the show tonight, guys.
No.
Yeah, don't knock up yet.
But, I'll be honest, and all kidding aside, probably not. I may wait and go Monday. You know, a couple of days, and if it's still there, if it's meant for me to have it, and it's still there, I'd get it. But right now, somebody texted me right now and said that there's a toy on the shelf that I've been looking for. I'm not going to go out of my way to go get it right now. I'm really not.
Okay. My point on that thing was if you had said yes, I would say then yes, you're still a super collector. If your mentality has changed. Because I also think that, quote unquote, super collector, it would be a mental thing. I'm willing to go the extra distance to get this. It's not just money; it's time, money, effort, blah blah blah, all along the lines. I would categorize you as a super collector because it's not about, like you said before, the quantity. It's about the quality, and quality also has to do with the time and effort you put into it. So. That's why I was going with that. I was going to say, yeah, you would still be a super collector if you were still willing to do that. I stopped doing that stuff a long time ago. Sorry. It's just there's nothing in the stores right now that I'm going to get up and go halfway across town for. I don't.
And it's not that I don't care about the toys or anything. I do. And they are still important to me.
Sure.
And it's not that I'm losing my passion. It's just that I attribute it to a lot of it to getting older, in that I see things as more. This thing is more important than others, and quite frankly, you know, prioritizing. I'm like, you know,
yeah.
I want that toy, but it's just not worth going all that way just to get a toy and then drive all the way back. You know. Part of it might be old. I don't want to go out of the house. But, you know, the other thing is, too, is I remember whenever Armada Jetfire came out. Armada Jetfire.
Power Pants.
Yeah. I thought it was a great looking toy. Still do. I still kind of enjoy the way that toy looks. I remember calling Target, which was about 30 miles away, on a Friday afternoon, and seeing if they had it in stock. And I gave them the DCPI number, and they had it. And I took out right that moment and went up there and drove specifically there to buy that one toy, and then turn around and drive all the way back home. And I didn't even bat an eye. You know, and it wasn't a figure that I was like, oh my God, I've got to get that toy. It's, you know, so important to my collection right now. It wasn't like Death Sword, something that it was something I loved a lot and I'd been seeking for so long and wanted so hard. It was just like new toy joy. Okay, I'm just gonna go drive, 45 minutes to get it, and then drive 45 minutes back to open it and sit on my couch and mess with it.
You just had to fill that plastic crack.
Yeah, that
addiction.
That kind of desire. I still have the plastic crack addiction. It's just that my drive to fulfill that is not. It doesn't override my desire to have it right now anymore. If that makes any sense.
It does.
I've been forcing myself to cut back. You know, it doesn't seem like it, but I have cut way back over the last couple of years. And I remember when some of the stuff came out, like I have up for sale right now the 20th anniversary Super Link Optimus that came with the Microman Kicker. I remember when that came out, for some reason, I don't remember. I don't know what my younger self was thinking. But scouring the internet, trying to find the best price on that thing to get it. And I'm looking back and I'm thinking, this is Energon. Why did I put this much effort into finding this? And I would have to go back and ask and say, hey, why did we want this again? And it'd be like, hell if I know. And so it's just, I mean, honestly, it's just, you know, it's got to the point where, well, it's like, you were talking about Unicron. When Unicron came out, I live still in the same place, but KB Toys, their distribution center for online purchases is 8 miles that way. They had Armada Unicron on the website, $49.99 with free shipping. The second I found it, I bought it. I thought, it'll be here tomorrow. They sent it by DHL to Roanoke. Which is 5 hours away, back down to Greensboro, which is 6 hours in the other direction, and then back up to me, which was another 5 hours. So it took a week to come 8 miles.
You could have drove there in 20 minutes and got it and drove back.
That's just it. I called them and asked them. They says, no, we can't do that. It's like, I'm like right up the road, literally, and I couldn't do that. And it's stuff like that, just the Chaos on Velocitron set you were talking about. I got real lucky. My Toys R Us still doesn't have them in, but they were nice enough to look it up. And the store, hour and a half away, had some. And it just so happens one of the people from that store was up in the other store training. And they actually did a store-to-store transfer and brought it back down for me. Because I had my reward points and a gift card and all that kind of stuff. So I wound up getting the Velocitron set for $65 after all my reward points and all that. But I actually thought about before they said that someone can do a store transfer, because he was coming back down to that store that day, that of driving an hour and a half to get that Chaos on Velocitron set. And I stopped when I was back at work. It's like, do I really need the set that bad to drive an hour? I mean, I was actually thinking about driving an hour and a half after work to go pick that up. And it's like, why? Is it that important? And then I realized I don't really know the answer. Because if they couldn't have done the transfer and I would have to drive to get it, I'm not sure if I would have done. I would like to think I would have enough willpower to say no, I'll find it locally and not drive a 3 hour round trip to pick up this one set. But then also thinking, as hard as this thing is to find, And as bad as sometimes Toys R Us does tend to mark up their exclusive sets, am I going to wind up paying more if I see it later? So that's what you have to face on being these collectors. If you is, you know, do you keep buying? Do you do these, like you said, Duran, do you do these huge long drives to find the stuff? I don't want to do that anymore. I don't, it's not that important anymore.
And it's, and somebody mentioned gas costs. It's not even a factor for me anymore. It's the desire is just not there. And I think that's a huge difference.
And for me, working retail, it's when you're not at work, you don't want to deal with people. It's just you're tired of being around people. And that's also a factor is if you're a collector, you have to run out and go hit the malls, hit the stores, do this, do that. My desire to interact in person with people outside of work is very low because I'm just I don't want to deal with anybody anymore. It's not nothing anything bad. It's just I'm peopled out, and that's been a big factor. Is I just literally like I do not feel like going out again. So it's just literally it's just like you said, the desire having to deal with people.
And I don't want people to confuse the fact that it's not that my desire for collecting and everything is waning or anything like that. It's not that. It's just the desire to have it right now. I think the gotta have it right now desire is just not there anymore. I mean, I want it, but
it's overrated.
I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to wait now, I guess.
Well, I think what it also boils down to is when I was, again, in the mid-90s, before the internet took off, you had to do all this driving around because if you didn't hit the stores, you didn't know what was out. Unless, other than if you got a product that had the catalog in it, that was the new catalog, you would at least know what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, with you having so many online stores, you have eBay, you have Facebook news groups, you have just collectors helping people out. Say, hey, guys, I'm looking for X. If anyone sees one, let me know. And you can toss them an extra five or something. And so you don't, unless it's an exclusive, you don't have to do that. Got to find it, because if I don't find it now, I'm not going to find it. It's out there, and you can get it in some cases.
So, even so what on you're online saying, purchases.
Yeah, what you're saying, Don, is that these youngins don't know all the obstacles you used to go through to get your toys.
50 miles uphill both ways in the
5 feet of snow. Barefoot. You got it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like how long has Downbeat been out now? A couple months now, you know? And it's like I wanted it as soon as it came out, but it's like, you know, I can wait on it, you know. And
for me, third-party stuff, I always wait to hear all the reviews. I got burned too many times. I don't buy any third-party brand new anymore. It's just and honestly, I didn't even do it for the Masterpiece Megatron. I wait for reviews anymore. I'd rather someone else spend their money and find out if it's good or not. I'm done with doing that.
Well, it's like, you know, we mentioned this pre-show. Bands, Toys, Omega. Visually, that is going to be a phenomenal piece, because I showed a friend of mine who's not a Transformers fan, but he knows enough about the universe. And I showed him the picture of the MP10 with that Omega in scale. And he was just like, oh my God, that is huge. I said, imagine what fans are who's more into it than you are looking at this figure. But again, that's $400 for the sets.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's something I'm going to wait for a review. You know, I watch P-All, I watch Diecast, P-All. Diecast from RFC, I watch Bobby Skullface, I watch Vangelis, I watch Emgo, I watch Bolt Matrix, you know, I watch, you know, a lot of the folks. Mm-hmm. That's something I want to see what the reviews are like. But it's fans' toys, so I'm going in with a certain level of
high quality expectations. Yeah.
Exactly, because right. Their Dinobots are like just
all kinds of love. Like what listener Tater X at the Tater X on Twitter said a short while ago, if you buy every comic every month and they pile up until you literally have hours of reading to do every 3 months, you are a crazy fan. that is true. But I think we've kind of beat this into the ground tonight and kind of gave the fans and listeners a perspective of the different levels of collector and where we see ourselves falling into those little niches. Are you just a passing casual fan or passing fan where you enjoy getting the toys, but you don't actively collect, you don't actively look at the media? Are you a casual fan? Are you a super fan? Are you a super collector? Are you a super fan? Or are you a mix of those? We'd love to hear from you. Tweet us at TFYLP. Post on our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. Let us know where you fall within the realm of the fandom and collectors. I think we've did a pretty good job here of establishing what is what. You know, I think we kind of agree now on the general things that qualifies you as certain things. Like I said, I consider myself a casual collector yet super fan. What do you guys think? Love to hear from you. You guys have any closing thoughts, Jim?
Yes.
Or should I say Tarn?
If you can find it online still for sale, you're probably going to find it dirt cheap. Find and buy a NetJet with a game key and play Transformers Battle Universe. It's stupid fun.
How about you, Don?
As far as what we're talking about, don't worry about whether your collection is the biggest or the best. We've all said this at some point on other shows. Collect what you like, pay your bills, use what's left for your fun, and just enjoy it because it's a hobby, not an obsession. And I'll admit, there's been times in which I've just stepped back and thought, I'm not going to worry about this. I don't really need anything right now. I will get it later, or if I don't get it, it's not going to kill me. Which is hard to do sometimes, but sometimes you just have to say enough. And so collect at your own pace and enjoy it because you can't take it with you. If you do find out, let me know. I'd appreciate it.
Yeah. Brett?
Well, all I'm going to say is that wherever you are in this stream of super collector, passing collector, whatever, if you want to be an outstanding whatever collector, make sure you like, share, and subscribe to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the only way people know about us and get to find out about us is if you share it. The fans, it's one thing for me to go out and share the link and tell people about it, but, to the passerby, I'm shilling my own product. But if you, the listener, the viewer, the fan that loves us and everything, and you pass it on to other people, say, hey, at TFYLP, it's a great show. Great listen, great view. They put on a great show. Other people hear that. They will come and listen. And we want you to be entertained, and we want to teach you things and maybe give you different perspectives on things that maybe you hadn't considered before, or maybe you had considered before, but hadn't quite seen it in a certain way. But I think that'll do it this week for this episode of TFYLP. I do want to announce, I posted it on Twitter and Facebook the other day. Now, I'm putting a little asterisk next to this because the date and time may change due to availability, but I have been in talks with and have confirmed Grimlock himself, Greg Berger, will be with us here on TFYLP Saturday night, May 6th, at our usual time, unless that changes, but I'll let you guys know as soon as I know. But yes, Greg Berger, the voice of Generation One's Grimlock, Skyfire and Long Haul and a few others. Yeah, he's going to be on TFYLP. Really looking forward to have him on there. I've met him in person several times and super awesome fella.
It'd be kind of cool if when he's on Duron, if you can just maybe get a good picture of Phoenix and show him that they've made his character as far as from the show and get his impression on what he thinks of the figure.
Possible. If I have it in hand by then, I hope so. But, nailing him down has been kind of hard because, you know, I've been kind of chasing after him. I've talked to him at, I think, two conventions in person, and he agreed to be on the show. He said, just get with me, gave me his contact information, and he said, and we can set up a date and time, and every time I contact him, it's like, I can't right now, got something going on. It's like, I was wanting to have him on sometime this month, but he's got plays that he's actually participating in all this month, so he's like booked up. And then we started looking at May, and it was like, okay, I'm open for this day. Are you open for this day? Yeah. So it's been a struggle. So you guys better enjoy this episode because it's been hard to nail it.
These performances he's doing, these are live stage plays?
Yes, as far as from what I gather, they are.
I'm imagining Grimlock in Dino Mode just dressed up as like various characters.
Well, see, now you're typecasting because, you know, just because he's done a famous role doesn't mean that's the only kind of role he's ever done. A lot of people didn't even know that he was Odie in Garfield and Friends.
Well, no, I would say like Grimlock as Robin Hood or Grimlock as Shakespeare, or, you know.
Yeah.
Different roles.
I thought Frank Welker was Odie.
No. Greg Berger was Odie in Garfield.
Oh, wow.
And as well as the pig.
Orson from USA.
Orson the pig, yes.
Yeah, we don't know anybody named Orson.
No.
You know, if you ever get a chance, watch the crossover episode between Garfield and USA Acres. That's kind of funny.
Yes, it is.
But I think that'll do us this week on TFYLP. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this week live on the YouTube channel. A lot of our regulars and a lot of new people I've seen on there. Thank you all for commenting and everything. Love to hear from you. And for everybody that's listening to us on the downloadable version, thank you. And like, share, and subscribe, as Brett said. So we'll see you next time on TFYOP. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Take care. Happy collecting.
Bye, Ned, Jet.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.